So today's episode is a brand new interview with Dave Davies. He's from the Kinks. He's got a brand new live album out on vinyl record, Live at the Bottom Line. We reflect on that, reflect on the early days with the Kinks, talk a little Jimi Hendrix, some of his personal favorite bands he got to tour with and alongside during his early days with the Kinks, and much more. Now, this is a Zoom interview, so it's us talking on video. The interview is also on YouTube. If you want to check it out, I'm at DC Hendrix on YouTube as well. So, without further ado, introducing the Kinks, Dave Davies.
Set me free, little girl. All you gotta do is set me free, little girl. You know you can do it if you try. All you gotta do is set me free, free, free. Set me free, little girl. All you gotta do is set me free, little girl. You know you can do it if you try.
So we got to pretend like we didn't do this before. You ready? It was so good the first time, we got to do it again. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Fuck it up.
So, Dave, we got to start off. So there's so much I could talk to you about. I mean, there's so much, so many years of experience, so much great music throughout the years. So I want to get caught up on even how you got started early on. I know you talk a lot about your music influences, you know, coming up early. I know you like some blues. I know you grew up on that and got to meet a lot of people in the 60s. So who are some of your personal influences early on in your career?
Well, I think my major influences when I was a kid starting out, it was all the rockers, and it was all the blues guys, all the important blues guys. But I think, although I love people like Ricky Nelson and Elvis, my major real turning was Chuck Berry. Because Chuck Berry had the whole set, the full set, the looks, guitar tone, style, a great voice, the lyrics. He was a great lyricist. He was a poet. And he, above all, he was funny. Right, with his duck walking.
Tons of charisma.
Oh, man. Without humor, you know, it makes such a big difference. And I think that Ray and I, in the Kinks over the years, we realised that humour was a major thing. Like when you're writing and like when you're recording and touring day after day, week after, you need the humour to get yourself through it.
That's right.
And I loved, of course, Hank Williams is a big influence, because what he was singing about in America was happening to us as a working class Cockney family in London. And so we can relate to a lot of the feelings, you know, of having to queue up for jobs and being talked down to, and then we can relate to all that. So it was, and so Led Belly was a big influence, and so many. And yeah. Eddie Cochran was a big influence for me, because he was a guitar guy, and he was really ahead of the game, I think. You know, his style was well ahead of the game.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, someone that played the guitar that was a little bit ahead of the game, I'm wearing I don't know if you can see it. A nice Jimmy. Jimmy Hendrix.
Hallelujah.
So I am aware that you, I think you guys had an encounter. You got to meet Jimmy
well,
once.
I met him. I didn't know him, that well at all, but I got to meet him in the early days. We met on an aeroplane going to a TV show in Sweden. And he was a very quiet guy. He was very polite. And he said during a conversation, he thought that You Really Got Me was a landmark record. Which, coming from him, it was, you know, he was a big influence on it. Everyone and everything that happened. Guitar sound, the tone, the emotion, the madness, the everything, man.
Guitar on fire.
Yeah.
Legendary. Yeah, I know, you know, and you talked about Really Got Me, and I imagine that was probably, you know, the big hit that you got when you guys knew, like, all right, we can really do some things with this band. Was that the song when you guys knew, like, all right, this is a hit and we could really have a successful career?
Yeah. I mean, we had two mini hits before You Really Got Me. Well, when Ray wrote You Really Got Me, and I was listening to that riff on the piano. It's like a jazz riff, really. And I transposed it to my guitar, and I had developed this guitar tone that I slashed speakers of this small old Pico amp.
Yeah.
Speakers all the way around. I didn't even think it would work, really. Oh. I plugged it in, it came out with rasping and grindy sound. And it was, and I knew when Ray started writing that song and we had that guitar sound, I had this sneaking feeling that it was going to be a big hit. And strangely enough, though, a lot of people didn't like it. You know, a lot of people on the periphery of, you know, the business.
Wow. I don't know how someone couldn't like it. That's, I mean,
well,
Because it was so
different.
It was.
That's noisy shit. What's that? Yeah, horrible. You know. People that knew, you know, when eyes were up.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the different from the norm takes a little bit until it kicks in.
It can take a while, yeah. Everything that's new isn't always liked straight away. And people are very fearful of change.
Yeah.
When you think about the matter.
And kind of going back to the Kinks days, just kind of digging in for you from a personal perspective, what was the most fun album to record going back to the Kinks days?
That's really tough. I think, obviously, the early albums when we didn't really know, we wanted to just get a collection of songs together to get an album together. I think they were all fun in different ways because the great thing about recording with the Kinks and recording with Ray was the fact that all the songs were so different. We had such a varied taste in music. Because when me and Ray grew up listening to music, we had older sisters, and my dad played banjo, and there were so many influences, like I said, country and like, it was all American music. And there were some great people in England, like Lonnie Donegan, skiffle player. I don't think you really had skiffle in America. But it was like, it was our version of blues, but it wasn't anything like it. It was like a scrubby sort of sound. But Lonnie Donegan brought helped bring blues to America. I remember Lonnie Donegan. He played banjo in a Dixieland trad band. Yeah. He introduced us to people like Leadbelly, like me, Rock Island Lion, and Goodnight Irene, and whatnot. I mean, they blew me away. Amazing. So, you know, we were lucky. There were so many influences. And I think that's why when we became recording artists, we had so many different types of songs to choose from or ideas or... it's, you know, we were very lucky to have such a well of great music to glean from, you know, to be inspired by. Everything like Fats Domino, Fats Waller.
Wow.
Everything. Because it all goes when you're a kid growing up. All this music goes in. I mean, oh, wow.
Yeah, those are the early days. Fats Domino. It's been a while since I heard Fats Domino.
I head stand up on my back when I think in playing that kind of like, I don't know. It's just fantastic. And they're timeless. All the greatest stuff's timeless.
Absolutely. That's what
right. Just
throughout the years, obviously you guys had a variety of timeless records, and I showed you that I'm playing one right now. So out of the, let's see, you probably won't be able to see it, but so through all the Kinks years, okay, your personal, what song, so I ask this to all the musicians that play live, okay, because everyone has their own song that kind of amps them up a little bit extra when they're on stage.
Yeah.
So in terms of Kinks songs, which one always gave you a little extra pep in your step?
Well, I'm just... recently got out this new album out of one of the solo shows at the it's 20 years ago.
Wow.
They're re-releasing it this year. And they're kind of my kind of favorite Kinks stuff and Dave Davis stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my most favorite Kinks songs to play and to sing is a track called I'm Not Like Everybody Else.
Oh.
And it always kind of resonates with us as a band. You know, when we first started, we weren't like the Stones. We weren't like the Animals.
Right.
We're not like everybody else.
That's right.
So that's always been a very special song. But you guys that I should try and get this. It's Live at the Bottom Line.
Live at the Bottom Line.
Yeah. Look out for it.
That's right. And I wanted, so let's dig into you going solo. I mean, I always am so curious because it's, I would be scared to go. I'm like, I'm so used to doing this thing with a few other guys. I got my brother. I'm a little scared. So what about you? How was that decision for you? And, how did you feel when you were first making that solo decision?
Well, I did have solo hits, Death of a Clown and a couple of others in the 60s that were like in amongst all the Waterloo Sunsets, all the Sunny Afternoons and hits of the 60s. Mm. So I did have a solo career as well. But I didn't make an album really until 79.
Mm-hmm.
Some reason I couldn't get my head around it. I enjoyed being a part of a band. And it took me a long time to find a voice, a style. And so in 1979, I released my first real solo album. It was a lot of fun. And some years later, I got people trying to persuade. I was very reluctant to do solo shows. But I'm glad I did, because it's different. It's wonderful. And I'm very excited about doing my first show. It's one of my best that I thought tours was a tour with this band I used on bottom. And it was a lot of fun. And we got to play some old Kink songs and some new Dave songs. And, Not a star.
Yeah, there was an album that you released, I think it was mid-2000s. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was called. That was one that I really enjoyed as well. And a lot of people, you know, when you go solo, you know, there's obviously going to be a lot of fans that stick with you throughout that just want to hear, you know, are curious to hear.
Yeah.
What a Dave Davies solo record sounds like. And it was really good. I was listening to it on Spotify earlier this morning.
I made quite a few solo albums.
Yeah.
Ripping Up Time, Ripping Up New York.
Yeah.
Very rough and rock and roll. You know, I like that rough sounding style of, like, it's my roots. You know, when I first listened to John Lee Hooker, who I thought was incredible, by the way, there was no dressing. There was no echoes. And that, hey there, man.
Yeah, I'm still here. It was Kinked. It was called Kinked, 2006, Kinked.
Kinked, yeah, that's right. I'm glad you like that, yeah.
Killing me. I had to go back. I was like, I just got done listening to it. So, yeah, that was one. The colorful cover, a nice cover art as well. I think it's just something that, you know, someone creative like yourself that, like you always talk about, just so many ideas, so many different ideas. I think you almost owe it to yourself, right, to try the solo thing? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but I think it was because it's always good to have product art. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get very impatient. Like,
right.
Write a song. It sounds good. You know, I've never been one to want to spend months in the studio to get everything just so. If feel it, do it. You know, I've always been like that.
Absolutely. And so I wanted to ask you about, so I believe I think it was the 80s, you went to a tour out in Europe. And did you have a chance to see and meet the one and only Rick James?
I did meet him, Rick James, in Germany. We were touring. We toured so many places. Germany a lot.
Oh, wow.
And Rick, in the earlier days, I mean, Rick James was really big in Germany. So we got parts, and I thought it was really funny. It was cool, but he had like a bit of a, what's that phrase, like a tongue-in-cheek, a bit cheeky, but too seriously. He was a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm lucky I've worked with so many great people, you know. And
you shared the stage, shared the bill with so many people throughout the years. So who else was on the bill with you that resonates the most? Like, looking back, who was one of the most fun people to tour with?
Well, we didn't. Oh God. I mean, in the early days, and there was many times when we worked with them, the Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And the Beach Boys did a few shows with us, and there was one show in particular we did in Ireland, I think. It was on festival. And we went on stage, and I didn't even know the Beach Boys were there. Sometimes there's big festivals, it's a massive people, and just get on there and do your thing. And we came off stage, and the Beach Boys were standing there, and I think it was Dennis, bless him, was crying. And I said, oh, wow, I said, was it that bad? He said, no, it's just such an emotional event for us. And it was an emotional thing for me and Ray as well. And then someone else, and it was a night in, oh, God, how long we got? It was a night in Florida when we played some shows. Mm-hmm. And I came on stage and the Bee Gees were standing.
Oh, wow.
They had tears in their eyes. And it wasn't that bad, surely. But they can relate to the brotherliness, like me and Ray, all the problems of being a family and being in the band. And it's very moving. And of course, they wrote some incredible records.
That's crazy. Yeah, those Bee Gees, Beach Boys, but obviously the Kinks, you know, that you guys throughout the years and you yourself. I know things aren't normal right now. As you see, like, I'm at home, my record's behind me. So, like, things aren't normal. There's no live shows, no, really.
Hopefully, next year we can get doing some rocking again, which would be nice. Absolutely.
I'm going to have to check you out. I'm going to be on the lookout as soon as you release those live shows.
Keep me posted, man, and we'll keep in touch. And
absolutely.
Directly we can do some stuff, we'll do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got the live at the Bottom Line. Want to promote that one time. Get to your local record store and grab that record. Dave's been showing it throughout the interview. Grab that record. It's a must-have. I still got to get my hands on it. I've listened to it, but I still need to get my hands on it, of course, and have it added to my nice collection, of course. I'll add it. And you mentioned, so is there anything else coming out anytime soon that you have to promote?
Yeah, we've got the Kinks have got a re-release of Loaded versus Power Man and the Money Around came up in October.
Yeah.
So look out for that. Some new stuff, not new, but like revamped demos and, you know, it's really worth some interviews of me and Ray talking with each other. It's kind of unique stuff on it. So look out for that. It's a big release coming up from BMJ.
Absolutely. That's great stuff. I'm going to have to look out for that as well. Oh, Dave, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this and, you know, talking about Live at the Bottom Line, grab that upcoming Kinks record, kind of revamped and reflecting on the old days. I really appreciate it. Great stuff.
With, Lola versus Power Man and the Money Go Around.
That's right.
Really, box set. Cool.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We'll make sure to get this up. We gotta hang out. Live shows.
We do it.
Come to the Midwest, and I'll
love Chicago. It's one of my favorite places to play. Chicago, love it. Chicago.
That's where we'll meet. That's my favorite place too. Perfect. It makes perfect sense. It's only a couple hours away.
Yeah, man, fabulous. Just do that.
Sounds good. All right, you take care. Keep being safe. And keep being Dave Davies, okay? That's right. Social distance handshake. There it is. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. All right. Peace and love.
Peace and love, man. Take care. Bless you.